Hey, folks, thanks for tuning in to the Eye on College Football podcast here on CBSSports.com. I am Chip Patterson, and joining me today, as he does so many times, Tom Fornelli from the Eye on College Football blog, my blog bro. We are here to wrap up spring practice. We got almost all the FBS teams done. But before we get into it, Tom, it looks like maybe, just maybe, we're sitting here recording this on Monday. We might be slowing down in conference realignment. How does that make you feel?
I feel fantastic. I think we've got over numerous times on this podcast just about how tired I think all of us are of conference realignment. And while I don't know if today really stops it entirely, it definitely, you know, it put a boot on the front left tire. It significantly slowed things down for a while.
And, of course, the announcement that we are referencing is the Atlantic Coast Conference announcing that all of the university presidents, and that includes Notre Dame, along with Pittsburgh and Syracuse and Louisville, who will be replacing Maryland, they have agreed, or at least in principle, and are finalizing a grant of rights which will last through 2026, the 2026-27 season, which is the duration of the ACC's media rights deal with ESPN. This is very similar to what the Big 12 has in place. This is similar to what the Big 10 has in place and the Pac-12. And according to CBSSports.com's Jeremy Fowler, it will bring the annual intake per school above 20 million. And that means that among the five power conferences, which would be your Big 10, your Big 12, your SEC, your Pac-12, and your ACC, all of these schools have an agreement that we're all in this together, we're sharing money, and everybody's making over $20 million a year. And so at least from where I'm sitting right now, it seems like if everybody at the Big Five schools are happy, then we're done plucking, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, essentially what the grant of rights really is, it's just every school selling its television rights to the conference. The conference now owns television rights. And the only reason any conference ever expands is to get new television markets into the conference to make more money for the school. So if you look at places like the Big Ten, which, you know, they've already taken Maryland from the ACC, and there's been, you know, rumors and speculation of the conference being interested in places like Georgia Tech, Virginia, and even North Carolina. The reason Jim Delaney and the Big Ten had that in their mind was for those television markets like in Atlanta and in, you know, the Mid-Atlantic region. But now, if those schools have granted their television rights to the ACC, if the Big Ten were to bring them, the Big Ten wouldn't get any of that television money until 2027, which somewhat defeats the purpose of adding them. So that's why it's pretty much put an end to it, because all the five major conferences now have this. So unless there's value into going from something like a UConn or Cincinnati might still have some value to conferences, maybe if the Big 12 wanted to expand, and I don't think the Big 12 does. I think the Big 12 is only going to expand if the others kept growing. But if you look at what's formerly of the Big East, there's really nothing there that adds enough value for any of the five major conferences to bring them aboard.
That's right. The American Athletic Conference, as it will be known soon, is right there. I mean, they are one of the, you know, top conferences in the group of five, but it is a decided step back from the, you know, BCS automatic qualifying status that the Big East held, at least until the Big East, the Catholic Seven, broke away and took the name with them. This is my major takeaway from this. I look at the ACC doing this, and Florida State and Clemson were always rumored as potential targets for the Big 12 if they decided to expand beyond 10 teams. The schools you just mentioned, Georgia Tech, North Carolina, UVA, always mentioned as a possible Big 10 target. I think that what's happening right now, particularly with the decision to have these grant of rights and everybody, is basically securing their financial future when we are facing an uncertain future in the college landscape. You know, as we really get into some of the new negotiations with the new playoff and, you know, how the selection committee is going to work and how much money is going to be generated with all the new media deals with the new playoff system, we've got the O'Bannon lawsuit going on right now. The NCAA's enforcement department is under attack. I think that we could be all the presidents know that we are on the edge of potential major change in college athletics, not just conference realignment. And I think the last thing that you want to do as an institution is have an uncertain future based on your conference when it seems like the conferences are the tanks that drive the schools towards the money faucet.
Well, yeah, I mean, when you're running, you know, amateur athletics, the last thing you want is to not be making money.
Yeah, obviously. But don't you, I mean, if I was a university president or an athletic director and all of the, there was a lot of uncertainty regarding the right, you know, broadcast rights and, you know, we could potentially be dealing with some heavy issues here in the next year, year and a half, and at least this keeps you from being left out in the cold, similar to on a major scale, you know, UConn and Cincinnati, they're all of a sudden left out. Those are two institutions that we're used to competing on the highest level, being mentioned in the, you know, in the same breath as your classic BCS schools, and they are a decided step down now from where the rest of their former conference members. It's interesting time.
Oh yeah, I mean, it makes perfect sense. You kind of have to for the stability, because you don't. I mean, like, I think it was Dan Wolkin wrote yesterday in the USA Today. There's, you know, talk, you know, of breaking away from the NCAA seems to be becoming a more and more likely scenario where schools and the conferences will just, you know, say to hell with it with the NCAA and literally form their own leagues.
Yeah. If you can sell the tickets and if you can sell the rights, like, you know, the rights to be able to broadcast it yourself, then why not?
Yeah, no. So we're definitely in a period of college sports where there seems to be a lot of change coming on the horizon just from the way everything's governed and the money aspects and the television aspects. It's I understand why every school right now, you don't really want the added undercurrent of schools shifting conferences with all these possible changes coming.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this, I've, you know, we've mentioned the Big Ten a lot, and it comes at a time when the Big Ten is entering a new era. They will be welcoming Maryland and Rutgers when they in 2014, and that's not the only thing. They will also no longer have legends and leaders. Does that make you sad, Tom?
No, but I'm wondering if right now Jim Delaney's like searching around his office for his Maryland and Rutgers receipts,
so he could go drop them off for store credit.
He might be wondering, you know what? If I can't get to 16, you know, maybe I should, you know, just I tried them on, they didn't fit, you know. Bring them back. But no, as far as the Big Ten divisions go, I'm thrilled to not have to try to remember who's in the legends and who's in the leaders. Although I came up with some good mnemonic devices to help myself remember, but they'll never be quite as good as just saying this team's in the East, this team's in the West, and hey, look at that on the map, this team's to the West too. You know, it's pretty much the Central Time Zone and the Eastern Time Zone.
Right. So our Big Ten East is Indiana, Maryland, Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, Penn State, and Rutgers, while the Big Ten West is Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska, Northwestern, and Wisconsin, with Purdue added in there.
Correct. So, and the word is there'll be the protected crossover rivalry game of Indiana-Purdue every season just for splitting those two schools up, you know, for all the millions of Indiana and Purdue football fans that they'd riot in the streets, Chip. But other than that, that will be the only protected rivalry game. And also with the conference moving to 9-game conference schedule, it's going to allow, you know, these teams to play each other more often than they would if they had the protected rivalries.
Okay, so there's only that there, like if I'm Ohio State, there is no
there's no cross division rivalry. No. You will not get your annual game for the Illibuck against Illinois.
Oh, that's sad. I think that I heard that there was a great Champagne Room post about the Illibuck trophy that people readers should probably check out.
If you do, you'll discover that the Illibuck has survived much worse things in its life than not being able to play the game once in a while. I think maybe it'll add more to that storied rivalry between Ohio State and Illinois. If it's a rarer occurrence, I think it'll mean more in the long run.
Are there any other? So Ohio State and Michigan, with the 9-game schedule, and for the most part, with the exception of Purdue and Indiana, there are no guaranteed cross-division games. So you'll play all 6 of your division opponents and then 3 rotating cross-division opponents?
Correct.
Okay, so Michigan, Ohio State protected because they're both in the Big Ten East.
Yes.
Are there any other games other than the vaunted Illibuck that you're going to miss out on? Oh, like personally, you look at it and you're like, oh man, it stinks that these two teams aren't going to play more often.
I mean, I would say the Wisconsin Ohio State rivalry the last few years when they were in the leaders division together was kind of picking up, and now that they're separated, I mean, that kind of hurts you losing, but it's not like a devastating blow. It's, you know, Ohio State still got Michigan, and that will guarantee to be the last week of the last weekend of the year, and they don't have to worry about a rematch in the conference title game a week later. But other than Wisconsin, Ohio State, you look at this, I mean, Nebraska hasn't really been around long enough to form any true rivalries with anybody. And you just look, I mean, geographically, it just makes so much more sense because, you know, the East Coast teams in the conference, the Eastern Division teams, they're more industrial type, you know, areas of this country. And now the teams that are in the West are more agricultural. So it's like culturally, it makes a lot more sense this way too, because I've always felt like schools like Illinois, Iowa, and Nebraska have a lot more in common than they would with a place like Michigan or Michigan State. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
So it's their farming communities. It's like, there's just a lot more similarities between the schools now, the way they're broken up. I mean, Northwestern's really the only quote unquote metropolitan team in the Western Division, along with Minnesota and Minneapolis.
Yeah. Northwestern, Illinois, same division. They'll play each other every year. The Adidas-sponsored Nebraska-Wisconsin rivalry is that'll
Looking
be happening
forward
every
to the
year.
Uniforms in that one.
And then, yeah, you basically took your newcomers, Maryland and Rutgers, and you put them in there with Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, and Penn State, and that holds up the tradition end of the Big Ten East. Yeah, I like the split. All in all, I say one thumb up here. What are you thinking?
Well, I mean, the only team I truly feel sorry for right now is Indiana, because I feel like that's a program that under Kevin Wilson the last few years is actually, you know, on that upward trend. And now it's on its way up to where it's nearly becoming, you know, pretty relevant in football. And then, oh, crap, we're put in the same division as Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, and Penn State. It's like at this point, it's like no matter how good Indiana gets, I feel like they're playing for fifth place from here until eternity. So I feel bad for them, but I don't think the Hoosiers fans care that much, to be honest with you.
Now, this is a reminder to the listeners. We do have one more season of the old Legends and Leaders.
Yes.
This would not be set up until 2014 when the conference expands to 14 teams with the addition of Rutgers and Maryland.
Yeah, they'll have their farewell tour in 2013. And, you know, I'm sure there'll be tributes all over the place, bouquets, you know, all the normal stuff, maybe some free cars.
Well, who's looking at 2013 in the Big Ten? We just wrapped up, obviously, spring practice there. I was tuned into the Big Ten Network to check out some snow at the Penn State spring game. That was not happening everywhere. But who are you giving? Obviously, Ohio State, after going 12-0, bringing a lot of pieces back, they're going to be a favorite for the conference. But below them, who are some of the teams that you were really interested to keep an eye on, particularly coming out of the Legends, where I guess Michigan will try to capture that one and make it to the Big Ten championship game. But I feel like there's a lot up in the air. Northwestern finished strong last year. Nebraska has a lot of pieces back from a 10-win team. What's your read on the Big Ten just in general, looking into the season ahead?
I really do think, I mean, like you said, Ohio State, I think, is the clear-cut favorite in the leaders. I don't think there's going to be much there. I mean, Indiana might be a surprising team. I'm interested to see how Penn State adjusts in year two of the NCAA penalties. And Wisconsin, I'm interested just to see the transition, because it's been so long since Wisconsin's had to make a true transition from one, you know, from one coaching staff to another, because Bielema, when he took over for Alvarez, was very much running the same offense. So there wasn't a huge transition, which with Anderson, they're sticking to the basics, but there's going to be more spread type of, you know, but there's going to be more spread aspects.
Spread concepts.
There we go. There's going to be more concepts in it than before. Whereas the Legends division, I think, is just going to be really fun, because I think Michigan would be the favorite, but there's nobody there where it's like I see that they're head and shoulders above the rest right now. It's like if Nebraska, Michigan, Northwestern, or Michigan State even all ended up winning the Legends Division next year, I wouldn't consider it a shock. The only two outsider chances I would say would be Iowa and Minnesota.
Yeah.
But those other four teams I all think have a legit chance to win that division. So I think that could be pretty fun to watch this year.
Where do you think Michigan State will be next year? That's, I mean, obviously very disappointing finish to last season, but they had a good enough team that just didn't seem to capitalize in a lot of those games, end up finishing 3-5 in the conference.
I feel like with D'Antonio there, that Michigan State defense is always going to be good enough to keep it, you know, to keep the Spartans in every game. The only question is, can they find offense? Because that the offense was not good at all last year, and with losing Le'Veon Bell and Deion Sims and guys like that to the NFL, they're losing most of the offensive production that they did have. So if the Spartans could find a way to just score, you know, 20 points a game, just get a couple touchdowns to help that defense out, I think they're going to be good no matter what, because I always feel that defense is going to be one of the strongest in the conference.
We had a lot of, throughout all of spring, a lot of teams rolling out new uniforms. Ole Miss and North Carolina were some of the headliners from the April 13th spring game. North Carolina introducing black, sort of a navy blackish numbers, and Ole Miss also getting some new gear. We had West Virginia debut all of their different combinations. They got new fonts on their numbers, and they got... You know, I feel like I should be playing some Theophilus London or something, because we've got, like, this is like, and now in the spring fashion line, spring 13. Boots, boots. But, I mean, what's West Virginia will have 27 possible different combinations. Everyone is doing this. Like, it's not even a point where we're really surprised. It's almost become a game within the game. What stuck out to you that you've liked or disliked so far? Let's do one thing that you liked and one thing that you didn't like from all the new fashion that we've seen this spring.
First of all, the font of the numbers on the West Virginia uniforms, those need to go.
You don't like them?
You might as well have gone with Comic Sans or something. I mean, that's just, it's just stupid looking, in my opinion.
It was somebody hit Command-I and just hit italicized on the uniforms. Like, you just went into Photoshop and just hit one button and hit print.
Yeah, it's just, it was... They didn't even go through all the options. There's like 80 options in there, Chip, and they just clipped on one and moved with it.
Yeah.
But no, it's I don't know what it looks like. A kid drawing with crayon a lot too, like, but more like an angry kid, not a happy kid, an angry kid writing with a crayon. That's what those numbers look like. But the one thing I actually liked, which I think I may be alone here, are the new Connecticut helmets. I mean, the uniforms that they debuted seem pretty much basic as basic can get, but the helmet actually has the logo, or not even the whole logo, but it has the part of the logo in the front, like on the crown, at the forehead, like right above the face mask. And it's like, you know, a husky's head where it's the eyes are peeking at you. So when a UConn player is looking at you, it looks like there's a dog with a metal mouth coming after you. And I like it just because it's different. But it's not stupid different to me, where it's like, you know, chrome helmets or the Oregon helmets where like holograms are in them, just stupid shiny stuff to distract you. For me, this is different. It's not the same kind of helmet, but it's just different, and it's cool. I actually like it. I know I'm alone in this opinion, but I enjoy that they did something. They thought out of the box and said, well, why does the logo always have to be on the side?
All right, so... Is it really true? I mean, I should have done my research before the podcast. I'm just thinking out loud here. So was it really Woofus was the old husky and Growlant is the new one?
This is the first I've heard of Woofus or Growlant. So.
I think UConn's uniform change is part of an athletic department-wide identity brand change. Like, I know they've changed all of their uniforms for every single sport, both revenue and non-revenue, and the logo, like the actual logo of the Husky, which, like, they've still had the same, it was like the same sort of old drawing since like the 50s or the 60s, and so they're actually changing, like, the stuff you find in the media guide. Like, this is not just the uniforms. They are going all in. That is Growlant's eyes that you see on the top of that UConn helmet.
I want to get a dog just to name him Growlant now, and Woofus.
A pair of huskies.
Yeah.
I like
my boy Woofus. I'm going to get three dogs. I'm going to get three. I'm going to get one. I'm going to name one Woofus, one Growlant, and the third Barkevius.
Oh, yes. The what are some are there any good names that we know of for sure coming up this fall? Like, I mean, obviously Barkevius Mingo is going to be tough to replace. D-liner, the Alabama defensive lineman D-liners, I think
that's
early
gonna be my favorite. I don't care. I mean, I don't care what else comes along. I don't think you can get better than a defensive lineman named D-liner. That's like, you know, if 1,000 monkeys typing 1,000 words will eventually write a novel, that's what the name D-liner is. It's like if monkeys were naming players and eventually, you know, like there's nobody named firefighter.
Yeah. What anything else before we move on from spring fashion that that you stuck out that you liked or didn't like?
As far as the uniforms are considered, I could care less because Ole Miss's new uniforms just they look pretty boring. But there's the one photo of Bo Wallace where he had to pose and he just has an absolute look on his face of I want to be anywhere in the world other than here.
Yeah,
that brought me a moment of joy. I mean, just seeing that he hated the uniforms just as much as I did, or at least he hated having to take pictures in them. So that made me happy.
Yeah. I pitched this idea to you before the show and I want you to tell me whether or not I'm crazy. And some of this has been, you know, you go around and you're going around the country and you sort of read it, trying to make sure you read lots of different things. And I feel like we're not talking about the Mountain West a lot right now. Boise State and San Diego State, they were going to be headed towards the Big East. Then they decided not to. Then the Big East became the American Athletic Division. And they come back, and this is at the same time that the WAC is sort of falling apart, and Louisiana Tech's going to Conference USA, and you've got Utah State and San Jose State going to the Mountain West. But with Boise State and San Diego State coming back, we now have this new 12-team Mountain West Conference. They're going to have a football championship game. And it seems really interesting. And I want you to tell me whether or not I'm crazy. Because I look at the Mountain West West, which is kind of awesome. You got San Jose State, Fresno State, Hawaii, Nevada, San Diego State, and UNLV. Then you've got in the Mountain Division of the Mountain West, so you're the Mountain West Mountain, you got Air Force, Boise State, Colorado State, New Mexico, Utah State, who won the WAC in their last year of existence, and Wyoming. And I look at that, I see Utah State and Boise State fighting for a division title. I see, you know, San Jose State, obviously they lost McIntyre, but they were a 10-win team last year. Fresno State earned a share of the Mountain West Championship. And San Diego State, I think, could easily be competing for a division title there. And that seems like five pretty good football programs out west that should be interesting to watch.
I think as far as, you know, I think you should definitely consider it a much better conference than what's left of the Big East. I know I do. There's, like you're saying, because the two best teams from the conference we thought were leaving, they're coming back. And then the two teams that they're bringing in from the WAC were the two best teams in the WAC. So it's like, now you get your two best teams you thought were leaving back and you're replacing them with two more good teams. And you're right. There are a lot of good teams in the Mountain West. And I do think it's going to be an interesting, but I'm also still a little, you know, this isn't fair, but I'm kind of upset with the Mountain West for what it did to me in the NCAA tournament, because I bought into the conference this year and I picked some Mountain West teams to go a lot further than, let's say, that they did in the tournament. So I will not allow myself to get too excited about this conference because I'm still a little hurt.
You cannot let your NCAA tournament bracket mistakes affect your view of the 2013 football season.
Well, it turns out I can, because I am.
I just think that's just you know, listeners, take that for whatever it's worth, but I am excited about Mountain West football ahead this
fall. I agree. It's going to be a good year. I'm just, you know, I'm not going to fall in love. I'm just approaching with caution, like somebody who's been hurt. You know, I just got out of a relationship. I'm not sure I'm ready to jump in again.
Yeah. There's the American Athletic Conference, which will feature Louisville and Rutgers in their last year, Cincinnati, Temple, UConn, South Florida, Central Florida, Memphis, and Houston, and is that it? I think.
Yeah, I mean, I fell asleep just listening to you read those team names.
Yeah, American Athletic Conference will have a very similar look to Conference USA as Conference USA continues to expand. You know, they're getting Louisiana Tech this year, and as they sort of replace pieces. Conference USA and Sun Belt, you know, they've been picking back and forth against each other. Sun Belt gets App State coming up here in a little bit. It's we started the podcast celebrating the end of conference realignment, but the last couple months we've been sputtering to a close with some of this. It's like the trades that happened on the last couple days, couple rounds of the NFL draft. It's like we had all the big pieces go, all the number one picks were traded, you know, either in years past or months before this.
Trading sixth rounders for long snappers.
Yeah, exactly. We're trading around the ones that are going to be conditional draft picks in 2014 and 15.
Yeah, I'm happy. Like you said, we're both very happy conference realignment is done, but we can't ignore the damage that it's done.
No.
Just because looking at Conference USA and what used to be the Big East and the Sun Belt, although the Sun Belt always intrigues me just because it's the Sun Belt, but still, there's a whole lot of new schools there. It's all the rivalries are gone from the Sun Belt, Chip. Will we survive?
I don't know. All we can count on is Western Kentucky's and Louisiana Monroe's and Louisiana Lafayette's to just like jump up and ruin the season of some SEC team.
Oh yeah, for sure. And it'll probably be
Auburn.
Yeah. of all the possible suspects, I think it's Auburn. I mean, cause you can't really ruin Kentucky's season because nobody had high hopes for Kentucky to begin with. So yeah, I'll say I agree. It'll be Auburn.
Hey, a school record 50,000 at that Kentucky spring game. People are excited about some Stoops.
50,000 bored ass people after Kentucky got eliminated from the NIT.
Oh, and the real, that's some hard hitting investigative journalism right there.
Listen, I love college football, but spring games, I know that they're huge in SEC country in particular, and they get huge crowds, but I don't get it. You're going to watch a practice. It's not even a real game. I mean, there's no rules. I was watching the Illinois spring game. It was on the Big Ten Network. It was a Friday night. I was super cool. I was watching Illinois spring game for some reason. And, you know, the whatever team was down 14 points and there was a running clock in the fourth quarter and they score with like 2 minutes left to cut it to 7. So then all of a sudden the coaches just decide to give them the ball back.
Yeah.
It's like, what the hell did the blue team spend the entire game building that lead up for? I mean, they didn't ball don't lie and the orange team wasn't able to come back and tie the game, but still it's just like, how could you take that seriously? Would they just make up the rules as they go along? It's I can't take it. I mean, it's the nice football fix in the middle of the spring to help you get through, but it's just, I would never go to one in person unless it was for work, put it that way.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I covered them for work from the comfort of my the CBS Sports Ion College Football Raleigh desk.
Mm-hmm.
Just all my monitors going. I guess, you know, what are you looking forward to in the next couple months? I mean, the players, they're going to shut it down for exams, then they're going to enter summer conditioning for about 10 to 12 weeks and really start back with football stuff in early August. Between now and then, what are you sort of keeping your eye on as far as the college football landscape?
Well, now that we know there won't be any more realignment for a while, I'm just looking forward to all the player arrests.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I'm looking forward to this, keeping an eye on, you know, some of the stuff that'll happen this week. If you are following Dennis Dodd or Jeremy Fowler, they are both out in Los Angeles and in Pasadena. We will learn a lot about the upcoming college football playoff. And I'm just excited to see the decisions that are made there. I think those will be pretty important as far as figuring out how teams schedule, how teams, you know, plan their seasons, because it's all going to come down to making that Final Four. I mean, this, you know, the goal before was making it into the Final Two. Now you want to make it to the Final Four, and the decisions as far as what it will take to get there are going to be made here in the next couple months. And so I'm interested to see what comes out of that.
You know, I agree. And I think one thing that we're going to start hearing about in the future, maybe not this summer, but I'm thinking in the now that the realignment's done and the playoffs are starting. And, you know, like we see conferences like the Big Ten going to 9 games, maybe, you know, other conferences. I think we're heading to a point where we're going to be having a 13-game regular season schedule in the not too distant future.
Ah, I could see that too.
Yeah.
But
I think that'll be the next big thing that's not NCAA related.
You just add another game to the schedule?
Another game, or maybe even two.
Yeah.
But I mean, I feel like with the conferences growing larger and then the conferences wanting to have larger conference schedules because of it, they're also going to want to have another non-conference game, paycheck kind of game.
Got it. I mean, why in the world, if you were making, you know, all of this money, would you not want to make more?
Exactly.
Anyway, thanks so much for tuning in to another edition of the Eye on College Football podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at IonCFB. Follow Tom at Tom Fornelli. Follow me at Chip_Patterson. Make sure you subscribe to our iTunes feed so that you can get all of the latest episodes without us even having to tell you. It'll just pop up right there in your library. For Tom Fornelli, I'm Chip Patterson. Thanks so much for listening.